The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. By the time Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town, there was a man there named Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He is going to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord. We're reading through the book of Revelation and the seven churches. Today we have the church of Laodicea and Sardis. Church of Laodicea, most of us probably have that one verse memorized, and hopefully it makes us tremble, in which the Holy Spirit says, "You are neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm. Therefore, I wish you were either hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. Therefore, I will spit you out of my mouth, or vomit you out of my mouth." Pretty strong language. Pretty strong language. Therefore, what are signs of a person that's lukewarm? Let's talk a little bit about that. I'll give you a few. Person that is lukewarm will often put off his prayers. Instead of prioritizing his prayers, will put off his prayers till later. And he'll say the prayers half-heartedly, without a lot of fervor. So that's one sign. An anemic, weak, depleted prayer life. So let's pray that that won't be us. That we will not push our prayers till later and say them poorly. Another sign of lukewarmness is, this is more delicate, but we all have temptations in many ways. But once a temptation comes, we have to try to reject the temptation right away. A lukewarm person allows those temptations to come into his mind and gives maybe partial consent to those bad thoughts. That's a sign of lukewarmness. A person that's fervent has a temptation, recognizes the temptation, and then rejects it. As I've coined that acronym in spiritual discernment, BUT, be aware. Be aware of that bad thought. Understand that bad thought comes from God. then take action, which means you reject it. So that's another symptom of a person that's going to be lukewarm, is that he's playing with fire, he's toying with these bad thoughts, and he doesn't reject them right away. Okay, another sign of lukewarmness, and this can visit all of us, even people that come to daily mass, is that we fall into the habit of receiving the sacraments in a routine, mechanical, perfunctory way. You're in the presence of the Lord of the universe. And the problem is here is that we give you so many opportunities to go to Mass and to go to confession. Just take it for granted. Lukewarmness. Even among people who go to daily Mass can become lukewarm. Easy to slip into that. What else? Okay, a lukewarm person receives inspirations from the Holy Spirit. He does. But he either says later, or, well, that inspiration I don't like. That's a way in which we can fall into lukewarmness. It's scary. Okay, another thing that leads us into lukewarmness is this. Maybe we eat too much. Yep. Maybe we eat too much. We fall in the habit, we're not controlled in our sense appetites. We eat whenever we want, whatever we want. We have no limits. We don't say no to certain appetites. So we fall into what? We fall into gluttony. Person is gluttonous. He's opening up the world, opening up the door to lukewarmness. Okay, what else? Lukewarmness also is paved by living a very comfortable lifestyle, as we hear in the book of Revelation. We're comfortable and we don't want to make any sacrifices. We live in a society where we have so much. We have our home. We have heating. We have the refrigerator that's full. We've got two or three television sets. We've got two or three computers. We've got our cell phone. Life is easy. In other words, a lukewarm person does not understand the value of the cross. And Jesus says, anyone who wants to be my follower must take up his cross, renounce himself, and to follow me. And you heard that God is not very pleased with lukewarm people, is he? Hello? He's really not pleased with lukewarm people. God wants people not to be lukewarm, but he wants all of us to be fervent. So the danger is that we can be fervent, we can maintain the fervor, but little by little the fervor starts to decline, and then we find ourselves almost, without being aware of it, in a lukewarm state. You heard the reading yesterday. The book, what we're reading now is basically an examination of conscience of the church, but examination of conscience of all of us. Yesterday you heard the last verse was, careful You have lost your first love. You have lost your first love. Be careful lest they take away your candelabra and give it to someone else. You have lost your first love. Here's an interesting question for you people. Today, do you receive your communion more fervently than on the day of your first communion? Good question, huh? If you can say, yes, Father, every communion I receive is more fervent, praise the Lord, then you're not going to be lukewarm if your communions are more and more fervent. But for people that practice their faith like you, like me, a always present danger is we can lose that fire of charity that we had. Yesterday I gave the image in my homily that around this time of the year when I was a child, my dad would try to clean the whole yard and he would make a bonfire. And the bonfire, for the bonfire to be kept burning, we had to keep feeding the bonfire with leaves and with sticks and with papers and with debris and with wood. Otherwise the bonfire would extinguish. That's an image of your life. We have to keep feeding the fire of God's love within us so that we're not lukewarm. Now you might not like this, but now and then we see in other churches, Protestant churches, born-again churches, you see a lot of zeal and a lot of enthusiasm. You know, I kind of like that. I kind of like that. And a lot of Catholic churches, there's lack of fire, lack of love, lack of the Holy Spirit. So today, we celebrate one of the greatest saints in the Catholic Church, St. Albert the Great. St. Albert the Great was not lukewarm. St. Albert the Great was possibly the most brilliant man in the world, in which he studied biology and chemistry and physics and the natural sciences and philosophy and theology. And he used all these different disciplines to arrive at God. Because all the natural disciplines, be it biology or chemistry or literature, physics, logic, the natural comes from the supernatural. So when he was studying biology, he was aware, studying that worm or studying whatever that might be, he was aware that God was the one that created it. When he studied the stars in heaven, he saw the beauty of the stars, but beyond the stars, he saw the creator of the stars, which is God himself. Albert the Great, a great German, Dominican, mystic, bishop, preacher, teacher, writer, buried in Cologne, or not too far from where Pope Benedict lived, had a student that was even more brilliant than he was. And his student that was more brilliant than he was very quiet. And the students would laugh at him. And once they called him the dumb ox. The dumb ox. And Albert, knowing that his student was so brilliant, said, he's called the dumb ox. His bellows will be heard throughout the whole universe. That student of St. Albert the Great was the greatest theologian in the Catholic Church. His name was St. Thomas Aquinas. So Albert the Great was forming the greatest theologian, St. Thomas Aquinas. These two men were not lukewarm. And I think a very good way for us to avoid lukewarmness is to read the lives of the saints. Read the lives of the saints. Do that. Try, when you're reading the life of the saints, something that really comes out of that book, take it in. And try to imitate it in the way you can. Read the lives of the saints. Absorb the lives of the saints. Love the saints. Talk to the saints. Imitate the saints. And you will become a saint. And you will not be lukewarm. God will not spit you out of His mouth. But rather, He is knocking at the door, as we heard. He's knocking at the door of your heart. And He wants to sit down and dine with you so that you can dine with Him in this world as well as in the next. So let's turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is the Queen of the Angels, the Queen of the Martyrs, the Queen of the Confessors, Queen of Virgins, but also she's the Queen of Saints, that none of us will fall into the despicable state of lukewarmness. But rather, Jesus said, I've come to cast fire, and I'm not at peace until that fire be enkindled. May that fire of the Holy Spirit burn perpetually in all of your hearts until you get to heaven. Amen.